He lost his wife. And you know what Saul did? Saul, after all, in those days, the king was also the lawmaker. He got David officially divorced and make Michal marry somebody else. So all this news keep filtering back to David. All the bad news keep filtering back. The king is after you. Your wife has not married somebody else. And these things are happening. And David's family was also being persecuted. And later you read, his whole family had to go to him to be in a cave with him. You read, David's parents join him in a cave. Because if Saul wanted to go for David, he would also go for his family, Jesse. And his whole family had to end up in a cave. Think about it. Because of David, his family lost the farm. Family lost everything. And then they come under David. And where do they live? In a cave. Sad times, isn't it? Painful times. Approximately about 10 years of that kind of heartache. Oh, when will it end? Oh, when will it end? You read about it. All the time, many of the Psalms are David, well, he was in a cave. And guess what? He made the cave his music room. Hallelujah! And he just played music in the cave. He worshipped God. There's one thing that he will never give up, God. He worshipped God. Many of the Psalms, you put David, a miktam written in the cave. So what was he doing in the cave? He was singing. And who were the people joining him? The most broken people. The Bible says people who are in debt, people who are rascals, gangsters, all the sting and all the kingpins of those times, all of them joined David in the king. David, we are with you here. And you know how rough the ways of the people on the streets are? These are the people who were gathering around David. It was a hard time. And just to show you how much David needs healing by that time, there's many times when David must have felt great discouragement. You read any of his Psalms, you find him finding great discouragement. And he has to overcome his discouragement in the Lord. He is experiencing brokenness. But finally, to make a long story short, the 10 years slowly came to an end. And the time came when David was to be crowned king. Now, the reason why we jump ahead of the 10 years, you know, the 10 years cover many, many things. Everything you can imagine, he probably went through. And don't tell me that all the 400 men are very goody-goody people under him. No, they're the rascals of the town. They could turn against him at any time. I mean, he must have quarrels, you know, with all these people trying to get them together, the two gangsters or enemies coming together under the same cave. Think about having the mafia, the triads, and all that together in one nice cave. Okay. All of the bad guys were in the town when they heard, okay, David the outlaw, okay, let's join him. Those are not easy men to rule. You know. At any time, you know, as they eat a word of food, who knows? Who was the one who stole my last chicken? Yeah! And they will fight over chicken neck and chicken feet. Those will probably be the Chinese triads under David, right? Because they were not around. But you can imagine what it was like. And finally, it seems that the hard times end. Times begin to get good. Remember, like Robert Schuller says this, tough times don't last, but tough people do. And you know how he got that one sentence? The story is in one of the Reader Digest article. Robert Schuller was called to speak to a whole group of farmers. The farmers had seen the worst famine, the worst times. They have lost everything, including their home. Some of them at the verge of losing their everything that they own, their property, and everything. And he has this thousands of discouraged farmers waiting to hear him. And he was struggling. He said, God, I don't know what to speak to these people. I don't know, have a word for them. And he struggled and struggled. And then when he stood up to speak to these discouraged, downhearted farmers, he could only start with his story. So he tells the story of how he was a little boy, how he grew up, how his father faced all the tough times. And right towards the end, he says, as he was struggling with the concluding verse, the concluding word, he knew he got something that was coming out to say. Out of his mouth came this sentence, tough times don't last, but tough people do. And all the farmers rose up to their feet, they clapped, they cheered, they rejoiced. They have now found a spiritual strength to go on. Think about it. Nothing has changed at the end of the speech. Physically, materially, financially, weather-wise, nothing has changed. But something has begun to change from their inside. They began to have hope again. They began to have strength to go on again. And slowly, many of them saw themselves through the tough times. So tough times do end. And then you came out of the tough times, you're a tough person. But sometimes we have a lot of wounds to be healed. So things began to get better for David. And as he began to get back together, it all began with Saul and David's death. But as Saul and David came to the end of their days, the first news that David heard was that Saul was dead and so was Jonathan, his son. Now David at that time had lost a very good friend in Jonathan. And so he composed a psalm in the book of 2 Samuel. As the good times began, it began with the death of one of his good friends, Jonathan. And in composing a psalm in chapter 1, the Song of the Bow, in verse 18, 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18, he told them to teach the children of Judah the Song of the Bow, as it is written in the book of Jasher. And among the many things, he speaks in verse 23. Saul and Jonathan were beloved and pleasant in their lives. And in their death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan was slain in your high places. Verse 26, I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen and the weapons of war perish. So in the midst of the good times coming to David, emotionally, he was beginning to actually lose a lot of things. He lost one of his close mates, Jonathan. The Bible says he was distressed. And then, when David came back and he ruled in chapter 2 over Judah, for about 7 years. And of course by that time, different things have happened. And in chapter 3, finally, in verse 1, there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. And so one day Abner, who was one of Saul's generals, came to David and said to David, I will bring and transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul, in verse 10, to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan to Beersheba. So the prophecies were all coming together. The good times are happening. David was now king for 7 years over Judah. He's about to be king over all of Israel. And when Abner came to David and says, and met with him, in verse 12, Abner sent messengers on his behalf to David saying, Whose is the land? Saying also, make your covenant with me, and in it my hand shall be with you to bring all Israel to you. So David had an opportunity to rule over all Israel. And you know, in the midst of this great political intrigue in the uniting of the nation, remember, it was like North Korea, South Korea, North Vietnam, South Vietnam. The nation was divided for 7 years. Now for the first time, like East and West Germany, for the first time, the nation was going to be one together. That was a big thing. In the midst of all this big thing happening, there's only one thing David could think about. Michal. Isn't that funny? In the midst of all these great things happening, God fulfilling the prophecy, he was to be king over all Israel, he thinks about Michal. And he says, in verse 14, this was his condition. This was his condition for accepting Abner's offer. Give me my wife Michal, whom I betrothed to myself for 100 foreskins of the Philistines. Ish-bosheth sent, took her from her husband, from Paltiel, the son of Laish. What is the emotional condition of David at that time? He hasn't seen Michal for nearly 17 years since he first left her in a palace, climbed down the window. You still remember that story when he almost ended happily ever after? Right? That was a long time ago, right? And ran out the window and he never saw her again. His first love, he could not forget. 17 years later, everything was going well with him. He was now a king in his own right. He asked for her back. Now in the Bible, at that time it's still Old Testament, one of the laws of Moses, or God of course, in Deuteronomy 24 verse 4, was that if a husband and a wife were divorced, and the wife has married legally another husband, and something happens to the second husband, whether she got second divorce, or he died, or something, in Deuteronomy 24 verse 4, the wife must not go back to her first husband. It's in the Bible. Deuteronomy 24 verse 4. Now, of course, in the New Testament, a lot of grace has covered a lot of those things, right? Where people can be forgiven and people can be restored all the way. But this was still Old Testament. David was still in the Old Covenant. And what David was doing was actually against Moses' law. Strictly speaking. Of course, the circumstances of all the things he went through were not in his control. He didn't ask to be separated from his wife, Michal. He was pushed by circumstances. But here David, emotionally you can see he has many wounds now. Outwardly everything is happening nicely, but emotionally there were things to be healed. And for Michal to come back, they had to divorce from the husband whom she was actually living happily. I mean, 17 years. Right? Take a minus 1 or 2 years maybe. At least 15 years. 15 years they have been living a married life. David wants to separate that one, and we do not even know whether there are children involved. He wants to separate that marriage and get back Michal. He wants Michal, his first love. In the midst of nation building, there was this personal thing. You know, it almost sounds like some of the English history, King Henry the VIII, right? All these great things happening, but the whole intrigue is all over his personal life. This is his personal thing happening. And you know what the husband did in verse 16? Paltiel, the son of Laish, went along with her to Bahurim, weeping behind her. They literally broke a second marriage of about 15 or 17 years, whatever,